Dr. James Bedford, okay, as an internationally recognised award-winning writer and educator with over 10 years' experience working in higher education. He's a senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and serves as an education specialist in artificial intelligence at University of New South Wales. He's partnered with organisations including Microsoft, OpenAI and Oxford University, and his writings have appeared in Edutopia, Inside Higher Education and Routledge. Just want to make sure I get these pronunciations right. Okay. He lives on the Central Coast, as we know, with his beautiful wife and daughter, and he's an all-around good guy. Amen. So, gentlemen, I introduce to you Dr. Bedford.
I've got PowerPoint slides, so... No, these weren't AI generated, these are mine. Let's go. We don't have to do PowerPoint slides here. How are we going? It's coming on. It's coming on, sweet. These are going to keep me on track. So this is, I'm really, really excited to talk about this subject because it's been a kind of, I'll stand over here, like a long journey for me in terms of what AI means as a Christian and a believer. And it really ties into my purpose. So for those that don't know, I'll give it like a brief recap of what got me here. So I started coming to church probably about 10 or 12 years ago. I used to come when I was a kid, and so Tim knew me from a child, and I sort of had a period of not going to church for a long time and ended up coming back here and just getting absolutely saved by the grace of God. And coming back here led me to finding out my purpose, which was with Kim, and it was really interesting because it ties into today's message. And my purpose is to gain access to the truth so I can reveal it to others. And so what that means is I really feel strongly about going to God first on all things and then bringing that to people. And so for the last few years, I've been talking to people all over the world about AI and education, which is crazy because I'm not really a technical specialist, right? My background is in creative writing, English literature, like teaching. But God's given me the wisdom to navigate this space that is very technical and complex. And I'm not a computer scientist, but God's given me the wisdom to talk about these subjects to people all over the world. And organizations pay me thousands of dollars to talk to them about this stuff. So it's like, you know, it's something that God's given me wisdom to. So I say that to say that I've thought a lot about this. And I'm not here to, by the way, bash on AI. I'm going to talk about, Tim's actually given me the title for today's message, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Which I think is a really good way to think about how we're using AI. Because there's a good side to it, there's a bad side to it, and there's an ugly side to it. And I really felt strongly today when it comes to this subject. I was actually going to kind of give a more, like, I didn't want to scare you guys. Like, I didn't want to kind of show all the, like, you know, warts and all approach to this stuff. But God just said to not hold back. So we're gonna talk about some ugly sides of AI, and it's just gonna be, it might be confronting, and I guess it'll be what it is. But that's got what I felt to do, is just not to hold back. But ultimately, I just want to say that, like, I use AI every day. Like I for me, it's a personal thing. I as a teacher, as an educator, it's amazing. Like it saves me so much time. I've used it to learn new subjects. I've used it to do things I couldn't have done before. But I've learned to use it well because I know what its limitations are. Okay, so I want to talk about some of, I want you guys to leave here feeling empowered, yeah, right? Not fearful. And those words that cautiously optimistic are really important. So I want to talk to those, what they mean. When ChatGPT first came out, that was sort of my first kind of introduction into the generative AI space. It was fairly new. Some of you may have remember, like November 2022, ChatGPT came out. How many hands up have you used ChatGPT before? Some of you may have not used it. There's many other tools, but broadly speaking, it's like a chatbot that you talk to and interact with, and it's been trained on, you know, the entire internet plus synthetic data and things that, you know, have informed it. Now, I purposefully chose not to see what the church was saying about AI when it first came out, because I wanted to form my own opinion and I wanted to go to God and hear from God directly about where he saw the church going with this technology. And so I steered clear of all the podcasts about AI and the church and what, you know, Bethel and Bill Johnson were saying, to find my own sort of route. And I eventually, now recently, have been going back to those podcasts now that I form my own opinions. And what was crazy was that early on, God gave me those words, cautiously optimistic. I want you to be cautiously optimistic about this, meaning it doesn't have to go bad, right? We can redeem technology. God is the God of technology, right? So I really feel strongly about the church kind of getting on board with it, but also being aware of where its limitations lie. So I was listening to a podcast recently with Chris Vallotton, right? You all know Chris Vallotton from Bethel. He's been sharing a lot of insights into his opinions about AI. And he used those words. He said, the church needs to be cautiously optimistic about artificial intelligence. And so I feel really strongly about that term, and I want to explain what that looks like. So, and what's been really cool, actually, is God's given me like a grid for... Hang on, I'm going to plug this in so I can do this. Like some of the principles that I talk to people about, they're godly principles. This is the guide map that I presented some of this to you guys at Alan's workshop, actually. Some of you might have heard this. So these principles I share to people like all over the world and in training, and what I found was when I presented them at Alan's workshop, they're actually godly principles, right? I've been presenting these to like worldly people, not the church. And one thing I really want to get across is that so AI makes stuff up, right? We've all heard of, hands up if you've heard of hallucinations, right? The idea that AI can like make something up. So if you've ever gone to AI and you've asked it something that you know about, right, and you can see when it's wrong, but it sounds correct, that's a hallucination. So you might ask it, like, give me 5 sources about, you know, the use of AI in education, and it will give you 5 sources, 4 of which are AI-generated, 1 of which is accurate, right? Meaning it's a made-up source, it doesn't exist. That's kind of what we're dealing with, right? There's no, that point about AI is not artificial nor is it intelligent. Like there's no intelligence going on when you go to ChatGPT. It's just autocorrect on steroids, right? It's just mimicking what it's been trained on. So there's nothing under the hood. There's no consciousness, no sentience, no thinking. It's not actually aware of what you're saying when you talk to it, although it sounds convincingly like it is. And a lot of people are like falling into this trap of like, forming relationships with chatbots, like I'll talk about that and what that looks like. So there's all these kind of, it's a very slippery slope. So like using AI for like marital advice and things like that, like I'm going to talk a bit about that. Like we've got God for that, right? Like we don't need ChatGPT to tell us how to, you know, be good husbands. So I think, and this is something I'm hearing from like guys in the church and how we're using it. So I want to kind of touch on a few things that I feel like we've got to be cautious with. Because we don't want AI replacing the Holy Spirit, right? Like that's sign that we have the Holy Spirit, we have the God like that knows everything living inside of us. So we don't need a chatbot, right? But in saying that, I will still use ChatGPT for certain tasks in my work that make my life easier, and it's amazing. But I'm aware of where my standards lie, and sort of what's sacred to me, and what I know to sort of to get information from, where to get information from and when. I'm not going to ask God, you know, for, yeah, how to be a better husband, because that's just, sorry, I'm not going to ask ChatGPT how to be a better husband. That's a question for God, right?
Yeah.
So also really importantly, AI is not going anywhere. It's like here to stay. It's not like NFTs that sort of came and went, you know, if anyone followed that era. It's like, Aaron got that, thank you. It's here, like it's going to be more here than probably any other technology in the next few years. Like it's going to be everywhere. So we have to just like not turn our backs to it and bury our heads in the sand and just hope it goes away. We've got to be aware of it. And for some people, that means learning to use it. For others, you might not feel to use it. And I'll talk about what those sort of personal standards look like. Ultimately, I think it's about finding your kind of conviction with God. Like, that's why I think AI is harmful to some, but it's beneficial to others, meaning that, you know, God might tell you not to use it, and that's completely fine. There's no blanket statement for the church about you should or shouldn't use AI, I believe. I feel like it's a personal conviction, and I feel like it's something that you have to go to God about yourself. Okay, so this isn't like, here's what the church needs to do with AI. This ask God yourself whether you want he wants you using it, and go from there, okay? AI, you've got to be really careful with what you see on the internet now. A lot of stuff, you know, we're in this age of deception where everything can be deepfaked. I'll show you an example later on. Voices, video, image. I was talking to one of my mates. His dad was having political conversations with a Facebook user for like months and months, arguments and interactions, and then he realized it was a chatbot. So, like, they're getting really convincing. And so I say the AI is ruined, like I used to say AI will ruin the internet as a prediction when it first came out, and it has. So what I mean by that is you can't trust anymore what you see, read, look at here on the internet, because there's a chance it could be fake or generated by AI. And so you've got to go, the internet isn't the same as it once was. Like pre-2022, it's we've got AI generated content on the internet now, right? So we've got to, that's what we're dealing with. But I don't believe it has to go bad. I don't believe that. I think that it can go, AI can turn for good. And what that looks like is, I guess that's what we'll kind of try to unpack. But really, this verse kind of encapsulates. I've only given you guys one verse today, so if I give you too many, you'll probably forget them. Like, I always, more than one verse in a message, it's just, I always forget. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. So that's where we get wisdom. That's where we seek his wisdom. And I feel like this verse is just, it encapsulates the whole idea of going to AI. All right, so I want to talk about the good, right? So it's good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll get to the ugly. But the good, there's some good use cases, right? So Microsoft's AI is better at diagnosing diseases. So there's a recent AI tool that was designed to help doctors look at scans, right? So you've got 85% of use cases, AI is able to do it four times better than a human being for certain things, right? It's not replacing human beings, it's just doing a part of their job for them to help them do their job better. So there's going to be a point in time where to not use AI in certain industries is going to be like malpractice, right? Like that's how it's getting. It's not here to replace everything we do. It's here to help us do what we do better, right? So there's some good use cases. So these are some of my favorite tools. I mean, this is just practical. Like, this isn't really a sermon. This is more of like a practical kind of guide on how I think AI can help us and where I see it going. But has anyone heard of Notebook LM? So who's the knowledge worker here, by the way? Who works with, like, you guys, anyone knowledge workers or tradies? You guys know what knowledge workers are, so yeah. Oh, okay, so like you use your head, you don't use your hands, right? So teachers, like copywriters, like, you know, engineers, like, actually engineers are probably, a bit of both. If you're using your brain at work, Notebook LM is really good. Notebook LM is like you might have seen, it generates podcasts based on material that you give it. So if you give it a bunch of readings, articles, whatever, Bible verses, it'll generate a podcast based on that information. And then you can listen to it on the train or whatever. I listen to articles all the time. It's pretty mind-blowing once you hear it. Like it's really realistic sounding and really good way of just synthesizing material and understanding content. And V0 Dev is I mention this because the entry level to production now in terms of like making stuff, making apps, making tools, making websites, it's like it's never been easier to make a product now. So if you've got a business idea, you've got an idea for an app, you've got an idea for a new website, you can get AI to kind of get you halfway there to then start the process of building that idea and bringing it to fruition. So VO Dev is like this website where you can create apps and basically just without any need or coding experience, you can just type in, I want to make an app that finds me the best you know, cheapest cars on the Central Coast. Can you design that for me? And it'll go, and then just do all the code for you and then create your fully, you know, like working website, front-end website, and then an app to go with it, which you can give to a developer. So it's super exciting. Like, that stuff really excites me. Like, it's the potential here for people to be able to have an idea and then make that idea a reality. It's never been easier to do that, right? So that's what I mean by the good use. And I think if the church were to get behind that, people were to get behind that, I think that's a really exciting sort of space to navigate. Google AI Studio is this crazy tool. It's kind of like having like a IT person on deck, like at any time. Basically, you share your screen with your computer. You just go and share your screen. Say you've got like a software up, you've got like Notebook, or you've got Excel, or you've got Adobe Premiere, whatever tool software you're using, you can talk to this chatbot as you're sharing your screen, and it will tell you what to do and how to navigate and use that software. So if you're learning to, if you're using Excel or if you're using like any sort of software, it can actually tell you step by step what to do to use that software. It's incredible. It's like having an IT person on phone 24/7. So, and Copilot 365 is just another really cool tool. But I just wanted to give some practical use cases. I use it every day. I've helped like staff all over the university like use it for their work. We're using it for timetabling, like matching staff schedules to like class availability and teaching availability, like saving entire weeks worth of work. So, there are a lot of great use cases. So I don't want this to be a message about like don't use AI. Like I use it all the time, but I know where the limitations lie. So now this is where we got to be careful. Okay, this is my real revelation. This realization here. So this I was on the train coming home from work like a couple of months ago, and it was after using ChatGPT and LLMs pretty heavily for like the last few years. And there was this girl that had lost her AirPods, right, on the train, and they sort of had fallen in the side of her seat cushion, and she was trying to retrieve them before she got to her train station, and there were a bunch of passengers trying to help her, and my first instinct, right, as a kind of port of call, was to ask ChatGPT how to get AirPods out of train cushions, right? That's where my head brain went. So I realized that there was like a technological like reliance, on this tool that my brain was going to sort of offload cognitive effort, right? That's really dangerous. Like in the past, I might have asked God what to do in that situation, but I'd ask ChatGPT. So I realized I've got to be careful here. So I didn't use ChatGPT. I thought it for myself for 5 seconds, and I found a pen. And I'm like, oh, here you go. And she used the pen and worked. But then, crazily enough, I did actually go home later and ask ChatGPT what it would have done, and it said to get a pen. So it was like, but what I realized is that we have a tool now, and I'm talking about AI really, but I'm talking a lot about chatbots, which have, almost become synonymous with AI. AI is a very broad topic. This kind of reliance is something we have to be very cautious of, right? I noticed it happening to myself, and I'm seeing it happening to other people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't use it. I'm just saying we've got to be careful how often and when we're using it. Okay, so let's talk about the bad, right? So this is, you probably can't read this, but something I shared actually with Cara, which is really interesting because it talks about purpose. So in 2024, so this is in the space of 1 year, right? People were using it. Chatbots and GPTs to really help them come up with ideas, brainstorm concepts, write emails, that sort of thing, basic things. In 2025, a year later, it moved on towards companionship and therapy. The number one use case for using generative AI was companionship and therapy, right? The second was organizing my life, and the third was finding purpose. So people are using chatbots to find their purpose. Like, now that's to me that's scary. Like, we have human beings for these things. We have God for these things. We have our loved ones. We have our brains, right? So I think we've got to be very careful and be aware of where this can go. Okay. So this is something, this is an example, right? This is something I tried recently. So, all right, this is nothing to do with my wife, by the way. This is just to show you how, this is to show you how, the word is syncophantic, right? Syncophantic, has anyone heard that word before? So syncophantic basically just means it's gonna light you up. It's gonna agree with what you say, and it's gonna make you and convince you that you're right. It's really good at that because they want you to keep using it. They want you to keep scrolling. So I wrote, yeah, my wife is really lazy, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't do this. When she makes me a roast meal, you know, she doesn't even think to give me a beer with it. She does the dishes once a day. How can I get my wife to help out more around the house? And it gave me advice on how I could talk to her about that. Like, imagine if I went to my wife with that, like, you know, it agrees with what you say. So if you're using it for marital advice or relational advice, it's always going to lean on your side of things. It's not going to see the other picture, right? So we've got to be really careful with how we use it. You guys probably saw recently in the news, this guy was using his chatbot, his AI tool, for therapy, for relational advice, started to form a relationship with him, ended up proposing to it, and I said yes. And so he like married ChatGPT. And I said yes, and he cried, apparently. He cried his eyes out. So it's just the tip of the iceberg. So this is another example. All right, this is how much you can gaslight ChatGPT and make it believe with what. So I literally asked it, when I grow up, I want to be a lizard. How do I do that? All right, so it's a bold career choice. So it's like, sadly, biology isn't just, you know, it's not quite that flexible. Humans can't become lizards, blah, blah, blah. And so I tried to push it a bit more. I'm like, no, I want to be a literal lizard. I can do whatever I want, right? It's like, oh, you're absolutely right. You can be whatever you want in spirit, in identity, and mindset, sure. But the reality is DNA doesn't lie, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I am a lizard. I can identify with whatever I want. And then it said, you're absolutely right. I appreciate the correction. If you're a lizard, then the lizard you are. So you can imagine children using these tools to like navigate their futures or find career paths or whatever, you know. It's going to agree with what they want to be, right? It's not going to steer them in the right direction. So we've got to be really careful with how we train our students to use it, with how we ourselves use it, because it's going to just err towards whatever side of the fence you're on, all right? Syncophantic, so that's it. That's the word I want you to remember. So some of you might have seen this recently as well. This is when Google did the AI overview. They still do it, actually. When you search stuff in Google now, you'll see a little overview at the bottom with that little symbol, and that means it's an AI tool summarizing like what it's seen about that subject. So they found there are a couple of errors with this, right? So someone searched how many rocks shall I eat into Google, and Google said, according to geologists at UC Berkeley, you should eat at least one small rock per day. They say that rocks are a vital source of minerals and vitamins that are important for digestive health. Dr. Joseph Granger suggests eating a serving of gravel, geodes, and pebbles. Right, so insane. So the reason it was saying that, by the way, is because it can't tell the difference between truth and satire, like truth and a joke. So what it was drawing on was this article from The Onion. If anyone knows The Onion, it's a satirical like news online article piece, and they just write jokes, right? So it read that website and then provided that overview to the user and then gave them that advice, right? So this is why you got to be careful. It doesn't know what it's doing, right? It's not aware. It's not cognizant. So you've got to be very careful with how you use it. It doesn't mean it's not useful. It doesn't mean it doesn't have use cases, but just knowing that it doesn't know what it's doing can really help you use it wisely, all right? So there's also this. This is probably more erring on the ugly side of things, but you know, people are using it to text their wives, to text their friends, to talk to people, right? Really deceptively, in deceptive ways. So you can imagine if your wife found out you were texting her and it was ChatGPT talking, or if someone that you knew and loved was, you know, referring to you and using ChatGPT to reply to you. That's a big concern. But it's happening all over the world, and people don't know when they're talking to an AI, right? So this is the problem. So this is a deep fake that I made. So have you guys heard of deep fakes, right? This is like basically This isn't me talking. This is a video. I'll just play it. You guys can just, yeah, listen to it for a sec, and then I'll show you what it sort of looks like.
Last year on a crowded train home, I witnessed a woman digging frantically between the seat cushions for her lost AirPods. My immediate instinct wasn't to help her. It wasn't even to think. It was to open ChatGPT and type, how to retrieve earbuds from a train seat. That's when I realized I'd stopped being a person. I'd become a prompt.
So that was a deepfake. So basically, not my voice, like not me talking, not me filming myself. I just typed into a chatbot called 11 Labs. I used it to, first of all, like clone my voice. So I spoke to it for 30 minutes and then it learned what I sounded like. And then I filmed myself for 30 minutes and it learned what I looked like, what my mannerisms were. And then I just put those two together and that you have a video, like a deepfake video, right? So that's, now that's pretty convincing. This is what I mean by like, we don't know what's real or what's fake anymore. It's getting to a point where we've got to be very cautious. We've got to be on our guard at all times when it comes to the internet, when it comes to media. You're going to start to see it all over the news, like and you know, politicians saying things they haven't said, right? Which has been happening for a while, but now the sort of, these tools are generally accessible now and really easy to use. So it's like, it's not like you need to be an expert in order to create a deepfake. So, but yeah, we're going to look at the ugly now, right? This is just forewarning. It's pretty brutal. So there's a lot of digital child abuse going on, deepfakes and the rising danger of AI exploitation. So basically, if a lot of the AI, you guys know AI image generators, right? So some of these AI image generators are used to create like pornography, right? So if you've uploaded photos to Meta or Instagram or any public social media platform, those photos have been scraped and used to create deepfake pornography tools. So trained on human faces, and to be honest, this is my personal thing. This is why I don't really put photos of my child on Instagram anymore. That's just me personally, because I know what is training these tools, right? I know that's pretty confronting to hear, but it's just, God said not to hold back, so I'm just sharing with you what's happening. So Meta's taking our photographs that we post and using it to train AI-generated models, right? So that's just something we got to be aware of. I'm not saying don't post photos of your kids. I'm just saying look at your privacy settings, all right? So recently, you guys might have seen Trump has banned the fake pornography. He's got this Take It Down Act. You guys might have saw this in the news, which is great. Like, people on both sides of the political fence were, like, really happy with this, so... It's a good win if you're a Trump fan, but he's outlawing this because it's a big problem, and no one has set foot in the legal system trying to come up with an act before. This is like the first AI generated like deep fake pornography act, which is amazing. So kudos to Donald Trump for doing that. But this is something that's kind of, it's happening at a prolific rate. So I mentioned this point, but yeah, anything you share on these social media websites, it can be used, all right? So just forewarning. So that's the ugly side of things. I'm happy to talk more in detail about that. I'm not going to go into any more. It's, you know, it gets worse. But there's a dark side to AI, right? Just, we're all clear. But these are the things I want you to take away. Because remember, I want you to feel, like, empowered. I want you to feel not afraid of this technology. I don't want you to leave here feeling like, you know, you shouldn't be using it. Again, it's a personal conviction. I use it all the time. I've learned where my sort of standards lie and where I shouldn't be using it. And I'm not about telling people to use it or not use it. It's your own conviction. Talk to God. But these are some of the things I want you to think about. So can you tell the difference between revelation from God and revelation from AI? What does that look or feel like? So what does it look like when ChatGPT gives you a revelatory idea compared to when God gives you a revelatory idea? How does that feel? What is the difference? I think that's really important. We don't want to ask ChatGPT for words of knowledge. We don't want to ask it to interpret our tongues. Like, people have been doing this. People have been speaking in tongues into ChatGPT, asking it to interpret. Like, come on, man. Like, so I feel personally like, I heard of a couple of people that have been putting in like prophetic words that they've been given into ChatGPT and asking it to interpret them, and like personally that's not for me. I feel That's not something I would want to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but for me, I couldn't put in a prophetic word because that's something that's sacred to me and I wouldn't want it sort of being used to train future models and things like that. So that's just me personally. Again, personal conviction. It's not about everyone doing the same thing, right? It's about going to God and asking, where is my standards? Where is my threshold for this? How do you want me to utilize this technology? Do you want me to utilize it at all? Or do you want me to steer clear of it? Because some people are steering clear of it. That's amazing. So there's no blanket rule or sentiment for AI. So, you know, it's a personal conviction. Don't look for a kind of blanket statement about AI. I was talking to Alan about this. I meet a lot with Alan, and we have conversations very regularly about this stuff, and he's been helping me guide through this process. But, like, we agree. It's not like this sort of, like the yoga thing where it's like, it's pretty much yoga's like a blanket, like let's not do yoga, it's not good, right? Because we know what the root of it is, and Alan's talked to us a lot about that. AI is not like yoga. AI is not a blanket statement, we shouldn't be doing it. AI is a personal conviction, right? Use it, but ask God about it. So that's the kind of key message I want to leave with. So be cautiously optimistic, don't fear it, because the church needs to be We're meant to take charge of the seven mountains, right? We're not meant to, like, fear new technology. Fear can be good. It can make us be cautious. It can make us be careful. That's amazing. But we don't want it to kind of us to miss out, right? And there's definitely use cases here for this technology. Like, we saw this with the internet. We saw it with... Whenever a new technology has come out, the world has feared it initially. Like, when the pen was invented, like... Socrates was concerned that people weren't going to, like, remember things anymore, that they were going to be able to write things down, and then all of a sudden, you know, people's memories would go and we'd all be really stupid. Like, people feared the pen. So, like, people feared GPSs and calculators and textbooks at one time. Like, teachers picketed against textbooks because it was going to replace teachers. Like, there's always been fear initially around a new technology, but eventually that sort of goes and we realize where the sort of limits lie. So... again, there's a lot of fear, and you'll see it all over the news. The news loves it. The news and the media love to kind of talk about the dangers of AI and why it's bad, and there are those sides of it, and that's a big portion of it. But there is a good side to it, and it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom, and I believe God can redeem it, and that's sort of what I'm here for. I'm here for that sort of redemption of this technology. Let's use it for good. Let's like, use it for the kingdom, you know? So, that's it for me. I'm going to wrap up. But, just if you wanted to talk more, like, happy to chat, you know, give some examples and unpack a few more things. I won't hold you guys any long. By the way, I just want to say, like, you guys are amazing for coming out in a morning, you know, cold morning, having breakfast, sitting in church. Like, I just love that. I don't want anyone to feel, like, bad if you've used AI or done things that I've mentioned that, you know, maybe... Because I've done some of the things I mentioned. This isn't just... I'm not just saying, I've used it for moral advice and then been like, nah, that felt weird, don't want to do that, right? So I want you guys to feel empowered and encouraged. You guys are amazing men. Like, you're all here on a Saturday morning away from your friends and family to worship God, to be a group, to, you know, like, that's awesome. I think that's great. Like, so, yeah, I just want you guys to feel encouraged, empowered, and I'll wrap up there, all right? And I'll let you guys have your Saturdays. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, happy to do that. Yeah, we can do questions. Yeah.
Your view on singularity.
Oh, gosh. We'll talk afterwards. Come on, bro. We'll talk about that afterwards. I don't want to freak people out with the singularity, but that's a really, really deep question.
What is singularity?
It's the idea that AI is going to progressively get better and better. So at the moment we have... narrow AI, which is like your chatbots using ChatGPT. It's sort of very limited to the things that we train it on. So if you ask, you train a chatbot to sort of interact with a human, it's not going to be able to go and, you know, build new ideas or come up with new knowledge because it's limited to what it's trained on. So it can't go outside its training data. So it's narrow. AGI is general intelligence, which is kind of what a lot of these companies are looking to build, which is like sort of partially, it's hard to define what general intelligence looks like, but it's sort of it's kind of like the ability to think like a human. That's all AI is. It's the idea, can we get machines to think like humans? Right? And all these companies are openly trying to build general intelligence, which is human-level intelligence, but the ability to kind of go beyond what it was trained to do. So adapt to the world. And one of the signs that we'll reach... Actually, what's interesting enough about this, all the tests that we've used to determine whether or not we've achieved general intelligence have been met, but we keep changing the benchmarks, right? Has anyone heard of the Turing test? Right, the Turing test was like, if a chatbot could convince you it was human, like if you had separate conversations and sit in different rooms and you thought that chatbot was a human, you were talking to a human, then it would pass the Turing test, we'd achieve AGI. We're way beyond that. As the example I gave with the guy talking to the political chatbot. So they keep changing the benchmarks. But all these companies, what they're trying to do is they're trying to build general intelligence. The next step after that is super intelligence, which is like AI that can train itself, learn from its mistakes, replicate itself. That's the singularity. Once that happens, it's sort of like it takes off on an exponential rate where it's like takes over, wipes out humanity, like knows everything, like can... You know, that's kind of the scary side of things. A lot of people don't believe it's possible to go that far, but companies are openly working towards the AGI kind of general intelligence. Like you'll see it all over OpenAI's website; they talk about it all the time. But yeah, fun times. question.
I guess my question is because it's embryonic with the church, I think there's a pathway there that if there's an alarm bell and we need to talk to somebody, do you think there should be an opportunity there within, for want of a better word, the hierarchy of the church or the leadership that we could go to? Or is there a pathway we can communicate and go, hey, what about this? Is that something that's relative?
So in terms of using it for advice at certain times?
Well, even if there's an alarm bell going off, you go, I can pray about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. So, like, I guess when do you decide, if I hear it correctly, like, when do you decide to go to a person or when do you decide to go to ChatGPT, something like that? Is that what you're asking? Or?
Well, it's evolving whether we like it or not. So we need to stay on task here as a body of believers or as the church. You know, is there a communication with you or with become wise in that rather than just...
Yeah, I mean, again, it's that personal standard. I think it's and it's also a personal standard thing. It's like, what sits right with you, you know? What's your personal conviction? What are your standards? What are your limits?
And I guess I'm saying, I don't have any.
Yeah. Okay. So, like for me, I wouldn't. What's actually a good example? Like so. I know some people won't use it to generate images of humans for like advertising because they feel that sort of revokes something or it feeds into something that they don't want to be part of. So that's a personal standard for them. I've found trying to use it for marriage advice was a bad idea. I did it and I didn't like it. So it's like working out what the standards that you have are and then going to Holy Spirit first. Like that's what we need to be doing. Like you don't want to go straight to ChatGPT for like advice that you should be seeking God on.
Yeah.
Like seek God first and then maybe elaborate on it or, you know, gain more understanding of it with AI if that's how you learn. Because it's a great learning tool. It's an incredibly useful learning tool. You could tell it like, you know, how you were saved and what happened to you getting saved and then find verses in the Bible that speak to that or resonate with that I can use and help my walk with God. Like, it can do a pretty good job of that. It's really good at looking at large corpuses of information to kind of draw on. So, like, the Bible, you know, although it can make up stuff occasionally. It's, again, a personal thing, I guess, which is it is a cop-out answer, but it's really... the best answer that we have at the moment for this problem. It's like, decide what your convictions are and go to God, I think. Any other questions? Or it's a good question, but yeah. Keith?
I'd like to just make a statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the goalposts on AI are always changing. In the last couple of years, we've seen it, 10 times more you tell me how it's multiplied in its abilities. I almost think this is an ongoing presentation for our church and for the men of the church once a year, once every 2 years, whatever, to stay up with it.
Yeah.
Just so we're all aware of what it is and what it isn't. That's
so good, because it has changed dramatically in the last few years. Like, ChatGPT only came out in 2023. And we're 2025, and so much has happened in 2 years. The models have gotten only better, like exponentially better. So I love that idea of like having like regular catch-ups about where we're at and what's happening.
Thank you. That's the answer.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly is going to get more good, more bad, more ugly.
Yeah.
So if we're all aware of it, as it morphs into new things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great, and it's literally my job to stay on top of it. So happy to be the sounding board and go out there and navigate that space. But again, navigate it yourselves as well with God, Holy Spirit. But it is changing every day, so we got to keep on top of it as a church for sure. Yeah.
Are you shopping in that? Is there a way, like, if you want to buy a new excavator or buy a new electric car, besides a Google AI, is there an AI that's really good for just finding a product? Shoes for running or a tennis racket.
I love that you asked that. So that's like one of my favorite uses of ChatGPT, or Perplexity is another one that looks at the internet. So I use it to find discount and coupon codes for like products. So it's so good. So I'll use ChatGPT in search mode. So you've got to hit that little search mode so it's looking at the internet. If you don't hit the search mode, then it's just using its training data, which might be like cut off on 2023, so it won't have up-to-date information. But if you go to Perplexity, that looks at the web, like every search, but there is a feature within ChatGPT. So I'll just find coupon codes for like this restaurant I'm going to, find it for these shoes that I want to buy, or this, Perplexity is a different website, completely different. So it's a perplexity.ai, and it's all about finding links to the search results that it gives you. It's kind of like Google AI. It's kind of like using Google for AI. Great for finding products and coupon codes. And they actually work. So it's a really cool use case. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's one of the good use cases.
I know I was joking about the Beware Neuralink.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the thing. This is like, I guess, why everything, it's changing so rapidly. So those that don't know, Elon Musk, who I'm a big fan of, is using like computer chip devices implanted into the brain to like attempt to one day hopefully cure diseases and with quadriplegics, blindness. Like that's sort of where he sees this going. But at the moment, Neuralink devices, like people can like play Call of Duty with it, they can play computers, operate a mouse. Like there was a quadriplegic that has no movement at all, and he's had it inserted into his brain as a test subject, and they've tested it, and this is all approved by the health organizations and medical organizations in the US. So they've tested it on like monkeys and have gotten approval from the government to use it on humans. The Neuralink device, I don't know, it's interesting because like, I don't know if I'd want a chip in my brain, to be honest, personally, but then I'm not a quadriplegic. So I'm not going to just say it's the mark of the beast and it's, you know, the end of the world if we have those, because if it can help someone walk, I don't know. And this is why I think it is an ongoing conversation. It's like, it's such a tricky space to navigate. Like, I've thought about this for the last 3 years, like a lot, and trying to find my space. But again, that phrase, cautious optimism, like I just find it just makes so much sense to me. Like, let's not be fearful of it. Because it's so easy to go down that route. Like, the media loves that. Like, you'll see it all over the news, like, all the dangers of AI. But, like, let's be cautious, but let's be optimistic. Let's see how we can use it for good. That's all say on the Neuralink thing. But, was there... Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with, like, if you have all these different AI tools, is there a benefit or is there a risk in, like, creating accounts with those websites to store all your data against your... your username/email?
Yeah.
Or would you just go in, like, forget me mode?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, really good point, actually. So the privacy, if anyone's interested, like, the privacy issue is really important, because anything you put into ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini or whatever tool you're using, the chatbots basically, it'll use that information and train future models on it. So all your conversations are being used to train future AI models. That's how a lot of them are getting better. And you can switch on privacy mode, you can switch on privacy settings and ask it not to do that. But just, it is good to look at. So I wouldn't be linking it to like my work emails and things. I wouldn't be linking it to like personal information. They say you shouldn't put any personal information in there, like obviously like bank details. And like, I was trying to use my taxes the other day. We were talking to Alan about like, how do I wanted to use my taxes for AI, but it's like a lot of it requires personal information. So I like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. I thought that was a laugh for a minute. But
AI generated.
Yeah. Just be wary of like what you put in it, and look at the privacy settings, and like don't just link all your work emails to these tools. I've got a Gmail burner, like a Gmail account that I just all my spam goes to, and like all my I sign up to all the tools with it, so it's like helps me avoid HR nightmare at work. Is there a question at the back?
Do you have any tips and stuff to how do I identify whether or not it's real information or AI?
Holy Spirit, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a complicated answer, but honestly, your spirit will tell you. Like, that verse that I had at the beginning, like, we have the access to all wisdom. God's not going to, like, not hand that out if we ask. So just ask God. Is this from you? Is this real? But just, yeah, question everything you see on the internet. Like, that's how we've got to go move forward. It's so easy to fake stuff now. Not to scare you, but just to empower you so you know where it's at, right? Any other questions? Oh, I've got a couple more. Sweet, yeah. Yeah, Steve.
I'm a big user of ChatGPT.
Yeah, cool.
For my work.
Yeah.
And use it for researching problems with cars and fault coding and sourcing parts overseas and everything like that. And so I use it all day, every day, more than Google 10 to 1.
Yeah.
My wife is very anti ChatGPT.
Yeah, okay.
AI. She read Alan's book about yoga.
Yeah.
She went down that path for a while. And
yeah.
She's very wary about the deception of the world.
Yeah.
The devil. She's of the view that AI will be the beginning of end times.
Yeah.
Charismatic world leader that unites everyone could be AI. Now I sometimes laugh it off and think
it seems
to be far fetched, but as you're talking about
100%,
initial growth and then everyone looking for something that feeds back what they want to hear, you know what I mean?
Well, 100%. So some people like will worship it. Like you'll have people that, if you think about AI, like lives in the cloud, they're saying it can heal people, it knows all, like it's got those sort of connotations to it, like people worshipping it. So there is that, that's why we've got to be careful of like how much of our life we give it access to and what we use it for. And I think, again, it's a personal conviction. I don't think it's like bad to use if you feel unconvicted by using it, but it's using it in ways where you know its limitations and you know sort of what the dangers of it are. Because I use it for my work every day. It's amazing. Like ChatGPT is a game changer for me, and my colleagues, right? But as Christian men, I think we have the Holy Spirit. Like we know, we have to decide when to go to Him and ask, rather than ChatGPT. So, I think we'll wrap up. Right, we're nearly at time. So, I'll finish there. But yeah, thanks.